This will be number four on the... Shelley, this show's number four? Okay, welcome back. If we can take our seats. Our next presentation is on advances in inventory management technologies, and our speaker is Maury Margol of Stockpile Reports. Maury partners with clients to help solve their complex inventory and production management challenges as head of business development for Stockpile. He spent 20 years cultivating experience helping startups and Fortune 100 companies launch products in volatile and fast-paced technical environments. This is a case study. So this is an industry-specific case study to demonstrate the issues relative to inventory management and control, which, of course, is critical to any business or any company in our business line. So I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say, Maury.
Thank you. Thanks for the introduction. So I have my cheat sheet here. In addition to Oldcastle, we work with a lot of companies in a lot of industries. It's not just mulch. Anywhere there's a stockpile, so whether it's steel, paper, aggregates, concrete, ready mix, well, concrete is ready mix, but anywhere there's a stockpile of materials, we measure it, agri-feed. So some of the companies that I've seen here, it's good to see some of our customers. Certainly plenty of people here from Oldcastle, but ASB Greenwald, Harvest, Swanson Bark, Mountain West, we recently, Ken, who's here with me in the back of the room, signed up a Scott's location, and Denali Water Systems bought four sites from Harvest, so they're now in the fold. So this is meant to be an educational session, not a sales pitch on Stockpile Reports, because you know we know what our technology does, but you don't want to hear a big sales pitch. You want to understand how people are implementing this in the industry. So I went to Oldcastle and asked their permission, and they said this is great. And so with that, I'm going to jump right into it. So I'm going to start with industry insights and get a nod of heads. 2019, depending on where you are in the country, to tee this up, has been a better year than 2018. Weather is very impactful, whether it's too hot, too cold, too wet. Increasing labor cost. We see this across all of our industries with stockpiles, no matter where we go. It's too hard to get people to work here. It's too expensive. We train them. They leave. We have a lot of turnover. Nobody wants to work in these industries. We can't get good employees, and it's costing us more money. Our insurance goes up. Our employee costs go up. Competition from cities and pallet companies. So municipalities now are competing with some of the mulch and bark companies. Driver shortage is increasing the trucking costs and the hours of restrictions on drivers, so they can only drive so many hours on the road. And then large retailers are squeezing margins. You know, the Walmarts of the world, the big boxes, the Home Depots, they always want a better deal, and they want you to do advertise specials with them. So, you know, one of the things that Oldcastle said to us is there's a lot of variables in this business, but with our platform, they can eliminate several of the variables. And then bulk sales are down, bag sales are up. So this is just sort of an overview of what we're seeing in the industry across our customers. So does inventory really matter? When I first started with this company 6 years ago, I was friends with the CEO. He brought me on board to start the sales push and process. And we go out to companies and they're walking around with a walking wheel and like, who cares about inventory? Does it really matter to my business? It's just a number. I got to give it to the auditors. Finance is always on me, my CPA, if you're small. We work with single sites all the way up to the biggies. So, you know, it's just a number. I want to get them off my back. Write-offs don't really impact the business. You know, get finance off my back, and then I don't have the time or resources. I've just gone over how expensive it is to have labor on the site. The labor's busy. Last thing a plant manager wants to do is stop what he's doing and go take inventory. It's a pain. And you're not Walmart. Walmart has the advantage of everything coming in has a barcode. Everything going out, you know, has a, even produce now has a barcode on it. So they know in real time exactly what's going through their system. You guys don't have that. So inventory tools were only used for audits because nobody wanted to do it. It was very labor intensive, manual intensive, not very accurate or repeatable. What we hear all the time when you do it manually, you're 20 to 30% off because you're out there with a tape measure or a stick or a sight or you name the tool. It's not consistent. So I've got some plants in my system that the guy was very adamant about doing inventory. He may be ex-military, whatever. Very disciplined. Go out, do really good measurements and try to get within 20%, 15% of reality. Other plants, the guy's just, you know, hey, just send in a number and then finance calls and makes them go do a recount. And amazing, the recount matches what they have in the computer system. You know, it's funny how that works. And then it's only a number or a snapshot in time. It doesn't really tell you a whole lot about your business. Just, hey, here's what we have in inventory on this day. It's not third-party compliant. What we mean by that, the publicly traded companies have to have a third party do an audit. They can't do their own numbers because the auditors won't accept that. So it becomes garbage in, garbage out. This is a computer term, but you know, the numbers going in aren't very good and the numbers coming out aren't very good. And it's difficult to keep your employees and vendors accountable. So what I mean by that is, if I'm a plant manager and I know that you don't believe my numbers, then who cares what number I give you? As long as it's within 30% of reality, and if somebody's stealing from you, or material is evaporating, or your vendor is shorting you, you have a hard time catching that because you have no way to track it. Write-offs compound over time. So this is a slide we use for aggregates producers because they like to measure quarterly. Some of them measure once a year, some of them measure quarterly. So you've got this write-off risk where they start the year with a new inventory, they start their perpetual inventory, and then it goes and goes. And if they're 5% off every month, by the time they get 3 months down the road, they've got a big delta. So what we saw at Oldcastle was they were measuring weekly. But if your weekly counts are not accurate, you still get this big write-off at some point. Somebody does an audit and says, wait a minute, that's not what we have on the books. So by bringing in a platform such as ours, they could eliminate those big swings in inventory and bring the misses down closer to reality. So the case study, they introduced a platform that's consistent, it's automated, it's third-party compliant, because all they're doing is collecting imagery. We process the imagery. The only thing our customers can change is densities. So they don't touch the scale, so to speak. They upload images from either an iPhone or a drone, or you'll see later in the, we now have fixed cameras. So it's all about just collecting imagery. So, and we also send drone pilots out for customers, and Oldcastle is using a mix. So it's third-party compliant because we're processing all that data. We're circling the piles, we're giving them the reports. And if they make a density change, it's tracked so the auditors know why the density was changed. Maybe they went from summer to winter densities, maybe they had rain for 3 weeks. And all the imagery is archived. So if you have a truck-mounted laser come out or you have a surveyor come out, they're going to give you a snapshot and they're going to give you a report and they leave. You'll see that we give you photos from the drones, we give you videos from the iPhone, we build a 3D model, we give you the volumes, you give us densities, we compute the tonnage. If needed, a lot of mulch companies just want cubic yards or cubic meters for our Canada customers. And then it does a date and time stamp of when the photos were taken, when they were acquired, not when they were processed. So someone might go out on the site, fly a drone, and not upload the imagery for several hours. Well, it knows when the inventory was taken. Same with the iPhone. Walk around a pile, upload the imagery. If you don't have great Wi-Fi or cellular at your site, you may have to go somewhere else, but it time and date stamps everything. So the labor to measure is greatly reduced. And this was from an Oldcastle employee saying recounts have been eliminated. We don't go back out and do a recount. So first of all, you know, we send a drone pilot out. The site does nothing. The drone flies over, uploads the imagery. The only thing the plant manager does is log in, look at a portal, and say all the piles are marked correctly, submit. And the it's done. So it allows this labor to focus on other things. Put out other fires, wrestle other alligators. Damages, shipping, vendor shortages, weather, compaction, processing, etc. So this was in 2015. I went to an Oldcastle site in Florida, and this was what was state of the art. And it's not a criticism. This is where the industry was, and this is where the world was. Aggregates plants, they might have had a laser like you use on the golf course, they may have had a GPS unit, but walking wheels, and then this was, I keep tripping over this thing. This thing is a expandable stick that the guy pulled out of his pickup truck. That's the plant manager, and that's the assistant plant manager, and he put it up in the air. And it was windy, and the thing was flopping in the wind. And the biggest challenge we had was reading the number there. We couldn't even see it with our old eyes to know how tall it was. So it didn't have a stick that came down. And then try to figure out this angle of repose and what the pile is. So now, fast forward, this is a point cloud from one of their sites. And every one of these points, every one of these pixels is a measurement. So we went from doing it this way with labor, two people out there, to doing it that way. And so when you measure, even with a GPS unit in this world, you might get 100 points of measurement. When you measure in that world, you're getting 80 to 250,000 points of measurement. And what we found in all our testing, the Texas DOT nominated us for an AASHTO award. We measure 6,000 piles. They measure 6,000 piles a month with 750 iPhone users. So before they contracted with us, they brought in a LiDAR scanner from their engineering team. They measured 120 stockpiles and said we were plus or minus 2%. And everybody we talk to in the industry says, if I can be within 5%, I would be happy to know what's going on. So when you get to 80 to 100,000 points, you're already at 98% of LiDAR. So it's not worth spending $1 million on a LiDAR unit to get an extra 1 to 2%. And there's environmentals in there too. The LiDAR overheats. There's other complications. You have to be trained on it, etc. We also built computer vision into this. So you've heard about the self-driving cars and how they work, and they've got all these photographic sensors and radar. So we fed 1 million pictures of stockpiles into a database and used computer vision to know what's a stockpile, what's not a stockpile. When you walk around with the iPhone, it knows what's the pile, what's a telephone pole, what's a bird flying through the frame. And we created a tow algorithm. We have three PhDs, and they created software that finds the tow of that pile. So in a lot of traditional, the drones were the big buzzword a couple of years ago. There's lots of software out there. It's really designed for mapping. It's not really built, it can do stockpiles. We built this for stockpiles. So in the mapping software, you click around, you might pick 5 points on the ground. We're back to the GPS unit, where depending on which 5 points you pick, you're going to get a different measurement if it's a large pile. The other thing is you've got to have labor to do that. So if you have a site with 80 stockpiles on it, someone has to literally sit there and mark 80 piles. We take that off your hands. We added this computer vision to tell you Oldcastle can sit at headquarters and look across all their sites and know which ones have vegetation growing on piles, which ones have equipment in the way, standing water or combined piles. Why is this important? Well, vegetation is easy because it's not sellable material if you've got weeds growing out of it. Nobody wants that. And it's poor inventory management. But these other things, if you fly Joe's drone over a pile and it's this big and there's a stacker over it that's almost the size of the pile, it's going to count that stacker as part of the material. We don't do that. We remove the stacker. So that's one of the things the other drone people won't tell you is, well, you ask them, what do you do about a stacker in the way? What do you do with tree limbs that are hanging over your site? Oh, well, you have to do this, that, and the other thing. There's a lot of good software out there. It's just not designed to do what this is designed to do. And then standing water. That's important because the computer doesn't know, and a person, a surveyor, doesn't know, is that water a foot deep or 3 feet deep? So where's the real toe of that pile? So we want to eliminate standing water. Now, of course, we have customers that do washed sand, and they can't. and they'll say, we'll take the measurements as is. You can turn that alert off because we have to have water. And then combined piles. When they're touching, it's an issue because sometimes this material is commingled, it's unsellable, but the bigger issue for measurement is when you have two piles touching and it's 3 feet off the ground, is it this way? Is it we slice it straight down, but was one pile here and the other pile encroached on it? So it's another risk to manage to measuring inventory. So we have a system that points that out. How do we do it? So I'm not going to get into the nibs and nubs of the system. I just wanted to give you some quick examples. So these are Oldcastle sites, and so they get a push pin whenever there's a measurement done, whether it's the iPhone, the drone, and they can zoom in on a site, and they get this site condition report in the portal with the map that shows them that, you know, they've got 16 piles of vegetation, two combined piles, so they're doing a good job because they don't have a lot of issues. And then in this portal screen, I didn't lay it out the way it is because I wanted to show it all on one screen. They can sort by product, by pile, by measurement, and then you can go in here and you can say, show me all the piles for this particular product. So I can click on bottom ash and say, I want to see all the bottom ash piles, and these will change color to show you where they are. So you're getting a push pin on the map. You can zoom in on the site, see exactly where the measurement was taken. You're getting a picture of the pile if it's a drone flight. If it's the iPhone, you get a video off the phone that's archived. And then you get the contours and you get a 3D model. So this is the 3D model. These are all the possible risks that I mentioned about measurement. We focused on some of them, but there's also debris, snow, toe out of view, top out of view, blurry or hazy imagery, lighting issues. And so our computer vision looks for these problems. We process upwards of 15 to 25,000 reports a month. So we had to automate this so customers would know, hey, you know, this is where I need to focus my attention. We've got some problems. And if you're, you know, a one-person site, you don't really care about this, but for the bigger producers, this is gold for them to know which sites are sloppy and which ones are doing a good job. So here's a drone flight, and this is all the imagery. So to not get into all the sausage making, but when you fly a drone over, you couldn't do this with one picture. You can't get the drone high enough. The maximum altitude is 400 feet. And the way photogrammetry works is you want different camera angles. So the drone flies like a tractor planting corn, and it takes a series of pictures. So this is about 80 to 160 pictures, and they're stitched together like a jigsaw puzzle. So they find the same item in one picture and the same in the other, and they glue them together. That's how photogrammetry works. What does it mean for the company? Well, every time they do a drone flight, once a week, once a month, they get this imagery. So it's valuable to the plant manager to see as a bird flies what's going on. And you click on a push pin, and here's the picture of the pile, et cetera. And you click full report, and you get that report over there. Now, we also have pile history. So you click on that, and you automatically see it. This is a slider here that would show you the outline of the pile, and then you get a chart that can be downloaded to Excel. So you see what's been in a pile over time. So we have some customers who, I know your industry is very seasonal, so a lot of it is build, 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 you know, bag, 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 and then the season comes, and then it's ship, ship, ship. But we've had some customers that have been able to look at these reports and say, why are we carrying so much inventory this time of year when we could flatten it out? Sort of like the power companies now will give you an average power bill instead of having these big spikes in the summer and the winter. So that just comes along for the ride. This map, you know, we came out with this and we let you download it. You can view it, you can download it, and then customers, my slag customers, my steel customers, my quarries, they said, this has a lot of value to us. We used to pay a lot of money to have someone do a flyover so we could give this to the state for environmentals, or we could say, hey, Joe, this pile back here needs to be moved. So for planning, environmentals, delivery and shipping, believe it or not, customers started telling us they're printing these out and putting them at the scale house. Now they have an up-to-date, real-time map. So a trucker comes in, he's never been to the site before. How many times does this happen? Well, go down there, turn, you know, I was talking to landscapers proud, Kelly, and she was saying, yeah, we're on this national forest, and people don't make the turn at the water tower, and they can't turn around. So it just, you know, finding new uses for stuff. And then I also was told that when they did boots on the ground, if it had rained for a week, now you can't even go out and measure piles. You're standing in knee-deep water. With the drone, you can go out and get the measurements. So it removes that barrier. So Oldcastle went from a manual process, every plant doing their own thing, to fully automating it, bringing us in. We didn't roll this out all at one time, you know, region by region, and then it happened. What's going on here? How can we be losing all this inventory? That's what they said to us. So we did some consulting work with them. They rolled up their sleeves, and they found out that they weren't losing inventory. I skipped through. They went from a manual system that was inconsistent to understanding how inventory moves and changes. Let me see if I skipped a slide. Nope, I'm back on track now. And what happens when work in progress is moved, colored, bagged, etc.? They never had a good way to figure this out. They knew they had losses. If you put something through the chipper, you know, you take a block of ice, you make it into ice cubes, you're going to lose some volume. You're going to have some air, but you're going to lose a little bit of ice along the way. And then they said, can we use this to track production? And we have a lot of aggregates plants that do this. So the ability to track perpetual inventory was great, but it didn't fill in all the holes. It's like, okay, now we know what we have at all our plants. So when big box retailer calls or headquarters calls and says, you know, do you have this in stock? We know what we have. We know what we have in working progress inventory. But now there was a hidden benefit. Spot check inbound and outbound deliveries. What do I mean by that? Well, they get a truck in, they dump it, they measure it, they know the scale weight, now they back into a density. So they do these spot checks, and every once in a while, the density's way out here. They go and look in the pile, they're doing not the same fine cut, or whatever you call it in your industry, where the density's not the same. So they get the vendor on the phone, and they work with them, and they say, did you change your machinery, or did somebody screw up? You know, this isn't the same thing. So it gives them the ability to do that without having a bunch of inspectors. They can see changes to the inventory, so when they put it through the chipper, they can measure it on one side and measure it on the other with the iPhone. You can measure every hour and see what the chipper really chips. You're not going to get a drone up in the air every hour, I can tell you. There's too many batteries. No one's going to stand outside and fly the drone every hour and do one pile. And then when you bag it, you get material back because it goes over the belt, and now you've got air in there. So you may have a 2,000 cubic yard pile. You get more than, you know, so many 2 cubic yard bags. How did that happen? So now they said, well, we didn't really lose inventory. We either moved it, piled it, it aged, we drove on it, ramp piles. Now they can take loads, know what the cubic yards is, put it in a ramp pile, drive on it, and they're seeing 20 to 30% compaction rates. They didn't lose that inventory, it just got compacted. They go to bag it, they're going to gain some of it back. So now they can build these KPIs and ratios so they know what's happening to their inventory instead of it just, well, it's kind of magical, it just happens. And they can know the pile location. So this is something you can put notes in with all the reports. So you're able to age piles and track them. And the other thing about the map is we've talked to some of our customers, not necessarily mulch because your material moves so quickly, but it's like a retail store. A lot of plants we go to, you know, they've got some product in the back of the quarry, but it's generating 90% of their business. So the trucks are driving really out of their way to get it. So, you know, moving the inventory to where the fast moving stuff is by the scale house, those kind of things. So to sort of recap this, little data versus big data, the traditional manual or drone counts are a snapshot in time. That's what they are. They're a count. It's back to, it's just a better version of a walking wheel or a tape measure. Big data tells more of the story, fills in the gaps, and track your material movement and the results and be able to do production. You don't always lose inventory. It still may be there. It's just changed. And how has it changed? You know, how much do we lose and gain when we process it? And, you know, what ifs can be researched. how much are we losing when we age, when material sits in the yard? Little data is just an inventory count. Big data, all these loads arrive, piles were created at density X, sat, became density Y, and then, you know, all these things. I think I've beat a dead horse here. Conversion factor variances can also be tracked. So I mentioned this is the only thing we allow customers to change. So if you have a dry season or you have plants here in Texas and it's really 98 degrees for 3 weeks, you can do density checks. If it's wet, you can change your densities, and then you can have different densities for the same material at different locations. We have customers in the Pacific Northwest, like a CEMEX, and their densities are going to be totally different than CEMEX in Texas because it rains, drizzles every day for a long time. So, you know, it gives you the ability to do this, and it's back to what Matthew said to me at Oldcastle. You know, and we tell people this all the time. They get so hung up on accuracy. Oh, is your iPhone accurate? Is your drone accurate? And so-and-so drone company says that, you know, theirs is more accurate. Okay, we think that consistency and knowing your densities and having tools that you can work with, the consistency is so much more important than accuracy. If you're always 3% off, but you have a number that you can count on, that's much better than being, you know, 100% and paying $1 million for a laser that's not workable. So consistency and being able to work with the platform is a big thing. And comparing one drone to another, everybody's software, if you have five surveyors come out, you're going to get five different numbers. So what we've done is we've eliminated a lot of those variables and try to bring it down to a consistent platform that anybody can take an iPhone. If you can take a movie at the beach, you can walk around a pile of video it, and then, you know, you can fly your own drone or we send drone pilots out. So to summarize, big data versus little data, inventory measurement becomes inventory management. We also have the ability for Texas DOT, we did single sign-on with them. We integrated with their database, so if you become a TxDOT employee, you sign in, you get credentials. When you leave TxDOT, they shut you out of their system. So we have XML interfaces. It's a fancy word for an interpreter in the cloud that enables you to, you know, so if you have an ERP system, you want the data to flow through, we can create that. Ability to plan is much better and much more than just volumetrics. It's knowing what happens to the material. And all these things can be tracked, KPIs can be developed, and swings from physical inventory are now more explainable. I'm not going to say they're 1,000% explainable, but they're more explainable. Because it still takes some work. And then the ability to manage the visual record of the loads, the shred, that's the word I was looking for, shred is finer or larger, and then check inbound materials for certain loads, and, you know, can we work on fixing this together? And then people ask me all the time, you know, how do we do density checks? So in the aggregate space, the best practices is you take a 3-cubic yard bucket, you put your material in there, you take from the left of the pile, the middle of the pile, the right of the pile, put it on the scale, and you come up with a density. You know it's 3 cubic yards. It's easy when you have scales at your place because you can weigh the truck coming in, truck going out, you walk around it with the iPhone, now you've got a weight, and you've got a volume, and you back into a density. And I have one, Gerdau Steel. They do this all the time. They had inspectors that were supposed to go out and inspect every load. Their process is a load comes in, it's dumped, and they have a magnetic thing that comes over, picks it up, puts it on a pile. So their loads are all dumped off to the side, and they're supposed to have an inspector drive up and look at the pile. Well, A, the inspector doesn't have X-ray vision, he's not Superman, and B, the guys are busy doing other things, so loads get missed. So they started using the iPhone and requiring that they measure it with every pile, and they created a density, and they figured out there was one supplier they thought was cheating them was, I won't say cheating, but they were adding concrete block and mud and other things to the load. And so then they would comb through this pile of scrap, and they had visual evidence. So they reached out to the supplier and said, we're going to do a chargeback. And now the other thing someone asked me here, pilferage and materials disappearing. A lot of companies that install our system, it's like putting security cameras in. Once people know that you're watching, a lot of that stuff naturally goes down. Whether you actually are tracking that or not to that extent, it's just the fact that now they're being watched and you're holding them accountable. One of the guys on our team came from a ready mix company, and he said that they'd go home on Fridays and they'd spray an orange line in front of all their bins, their bunkers that hold the materials, and they'd come back on a Monday and the line was there and they were losing materials. And then they realized, wait a minute, that's a different orange. The guys that were stealing the material were taking it, and they went to Home Depot and bought orange spray paint, and they bought slightly a different color. So, so save tremendous effort, labor, risk avoidance, and risk management. When we fly the drone for you, you have no risk. Some companies put a guy in a truck, have him drive from site to site, so they've got the risk of being on the road. He has an accident. It's your truck, your drone. I understand if you have one site, two or three, it makes economical sense to buy your own drone, fly it yourself. But it's a question of ROI, and we work through this all the time. We have a total cost of ownership calculator. You know, do you want to buy the lawnmower or do you want to hire the lawn service? And if we come and fly it with the drone, you don't have anybody out walking around the site, so they're not going to get hit by a front loader, et cetera, et cetera. And then it reduces the human element. And what do I mean there? Missing a pile, missing a truck count. Did I count three trucks coming in or four? Did I give everybody a ticket when they came to the scale? And get rid of the clipboard and tape measure. Audits are much faster. Everything is visual. The numbers are there. I didn't mention, but in our portal, you can download all those reports in PDF. All the reporting by pile, by measurement, by material, that can all be downloaded to Excel. That can all flow through to an ERP system. The recounts are eliminated, and then we talk to Big Four auditors all the time because we work with a lot of publicly traded companies. And the thing they show up and they want to know, is it consistent and is it repeatable? They never ask us, is it accurate? They don't ask for any of our accuracy studies, the DOT information. They want to see it, and they say, do you do it the same way every time? And yes, we do. When you collect the iPhone imagery, it's uploaded, it's processed the same way every time. The algorithms work the same. When you fly the drone, it's processed the same way. If I'm, 5'10", and I go out and measure with the iPhone, and Sally's 4'11", and she measures, the computer doesn't care. It's just tracking where that camera is in space. So it's very consistent. You don't have to stand a certain distance from the pile. You just need two orange cones for scale, and you walk around the pile filming. So I've given you a lot to think about here, and I wanted to sort of whet your appetite of where we're going with this, because I started out by saying that we're an image processing company, and we built Stockpile platform. We're not a mapping company that happens to do stockpiles. So when I started with this company 5.5-6 years ago, our CEO said within 10 to 15 years, everything on the planet will be photographed 24/7. And people thought he was crazy. We'd go to conferences and they were like, this is nuts. And now when you think about all the things that happen in this world, and somebody's got a video of it, either a traffic cam, a security cam, a cell phone cam. The cost of cameras, the camera on the iPhone is $8. There's ones you can buy online now that you put on, you clip to your shirt, and they're like $15. They call it a cop cam, and it will stream to the internet. So the cost of cameras has come way down. In the 5.5-6 years I've worked at this company, we've gone from 2G to 3G to 4G, now we're rolling out 5G. Think of the Wi-Fi speeds when you used to go to a hotspot and you'd sit at the airport and it would take forever. And now we just all accept that Wi-Fi is everywhere, and we log on, we have fantastic broadband. So the cloud computing costs have come way down, the cost of cameras has come way down, and so the future is here now. They actually make a hard hat cam now that Intel builds that you can do virtual reality, and you can be working on a boiler and you call somebody at headquarters and they see what you see and they show you on the screen what bolt to turn or whatever. So that's where the future is going, and we're going to be right there. So we've recently launched, we launched this at Ag One this year. We're working with two pilot customers right now. We've launched fixed cameras. And so there's a distinction here. Currently, this is for logistics. So this is not audit reporting. So these companies are not saying, we want these fixed cameras out there and we're going to do inventory audits. What they want is, think of the old days when you had a kerosene tank on your site, if you have a dozer or a front loader, and somebody had to go out there with a dipstick, you know, once a week, once a month, whatever, put that in there and say, yep, we're about, you know, quarter full. And then they came out with a gauge for that kerosene tank. Today, likely, the kerosene company mounts a IoT, an Internet of Things device on there, and it either transmits cellular or Wi-Fi to the kerosene company and alerts them when a load needs to happen. So that's what this is doing. We have a customer that is, they have 1,000 bins out in the wild across a bunch of locations that they're responsible for keeping them full. Truck rolls cost them a lot of money. So we mount these fixed cameras and we tell them, you know, low, medium, high. And we have a dashboard like this. So they know, and they can look across 1,000 bins and say, okay, these are the ones, kind of like you see an internet control center where you've got servers running or bandwidth, so, or NASA when they do the space launches. So they look across and they can see red, green, yellow of what their logistics problem is. Whether, you know, if it's green, don't roll a truck. If it's red, we need to get a truck out there soon. If it's yellow, you know, we should think about getting a truck out there tomorrow. So this, right now, we're doing hourly measurements with a fixed camera. So, and we've designed these camera enclosures, and this is the point cloud from doing it indoors, and that's someone on our team installing the cameras. So this is the future, is we can mount cameras on sites and not even have to fly the drone. I mean, why do you need a drone pilot's license when you have, you know, inexpensive cameras and you can put them out of harm's way and measure that way? So, you know, this is not for inventory yet, but it will be. And then the other thing that we are discussing, and we haven't made it into a product yet, is doing pallet counts. Because this is something else that people are doing manually, and you have your employees come in, or you, yourself, and on a Saturday, and you bring pizzas in, and it costs a lot of time, money, energy. People don't want to do it. They don't want to do it when it's snowing outside. They don't want to do it when it's rained for a week, and they got to wade through a foot of water. And it's as simple as taping a bag on top of the pallet so we know that it's got whatever it has inside, and we can tell you what's in your inventory with the same drone flight that we can measure your stockpiles. So this is something that's coming soon to a theater near you. So how does what I talked about address the industry challenges? Let's loop back around. So 2019 better than 2018. So we scale. We're cloud-based. We use Amazon Web Services on the back end. So every time someone's out there with an iPhone, we get an alert if it's online that, hey, someone's measuring. Every time someone uploads a drone flight, whether it's one of our pilots or one of your pilots, it alerts us. So we've got people that monitor this. And month in, quarter in, year in, we stand up additional servers. So we can scale. I mentioned the 15 to 25,000 reports a month. You know, our system has infinite scale. So this is a better year. Oldcastle hasn't had to come back to us and say, you guys aren't getting the reports fast enough. They're coming in the same speed they used to come. They're shipping, they might be shipping a lot more material. Weather, too hot, too cold. I discussed being able to monitor your densities and put them in the system. You don't have to worry about flooding. You can still measure. We did a lot of measurement when the hurricanes hit Houston a year or two ago and New Orleans, where people wanted to know what was left in their site. It addresses the increasing labor costs because you take that labor out of doing inventory. Just, they can go do something else. And then the competition from cities and pallet companies, you've got to pull some levers. You've got to make your margins better. So if you decrease your labor cost or redeploy that labor to do something else, it's math. And then the driver shortage and the increasing trucking cost. Here again, labor. It addresses that issue. And you can know whether you've got enough material to order that load or not. And then, you know, same thing. Revenues, margins with the retailers, and then depending on what you're selling more of, you can track it, especially with this new pallet thing. So that's what I have.
Any questions?
You mentioned that you're still researching the fixed camera system. When do you think that'll be available?
Well, it's available now. When I say we're researching it, so everything we do, we have another product that can measure structures. So we've got this engine behind the scenes that does 3D modeling, and the first application was stockpile reports. So if you said, I mean, there's been several people here have asked me, could we measure rolls of bags? You know, and there's actually a company that flies an indoor drone, looks for barcodes, so I'm going to refer them to them. But yes, we could measure anything. It's just a matter of designing the software. So we'll take one plant, we'll 3D model their pallets, we'll look at the photographs, we'll design the software to say, instead of looking for a stockpile, look for a pallet. So that takes some development. But the actual process that we go through is the same, and we can tell you how tall your pallets are. We have, some of our customers have asked us how much acreage is under our piles. They're in California, so we built an acreage tool. Some wanted to know how high the pile gets, because I don't know about in mulch, but in aggregates, if you build a pile that's above a certain height, you can get an MSHA violation because they don't want it falling on somebody. So we have a height tool because we have all the data. So I guess what I'm saying is just capturing the imagery is the same. We just need to tweak our system, and it just takes a little development to measure something other than stockpiles, ramp piles, bins. And the other thing about the iPhone is, I didn't even mention this, you can measure indoor piles. And originally, when we started with the iPhone 4, it was difficult because the lighting is so bad indoors in a lot of facilities. But now, you know, the new iPhones, you can measure almost in complete darkness. And the cameras have gotten so much better. We don't get blurry pictures and blurry imagery. They've just, you know, really gotten tremendously better. But the iPhone is very helpful. And all of our subscriptions include the drone processing and the iPhone. The only thing we charge extra for are drone flights. So it's an all-in-one subscription, all you can eat. It's not usage-based at all. As many employees as you want to log in the portal, and we can segment it where plant manager only gets his plant, regional manager gets his region, headquarters gets all the plants. So we can slice and dice it by user ID.
So I had two questions. The first one is, from flight to report, what's your typical processing time?
Good question. So I didn't show it here, but it's a two-step process that I talked about. So I come out to the site, or you pull your drone out of your truck, and you fly it to our specs, and they're not anything crazy. They're the same thing you would fly for the other drone software. You're shaking your head from Landscaper's Pride, because she does it. So you put the drone up in the air. Depending on the size of your site, it's a 5 to 15 minute flight. And for those of you who haven't made the drone plunge yet, it's all autonomous. You click, click, click around the screen, you geofence the drone in, it goes and flies, it lands. And if it needs an extra battery, it'll tell you, and it'll land, you put a battery in, it'll go back up. I mean, and it has sensors all the way around, so it won't fly into a person or a truck. It will fly into a telephone line because that's too small, but an object it won't fly into. And it lands on its own, takes off on its own. So okay, get it out of the truck, program it. And the nice thing is, once we fly it or you fly it, you've got it programmed. So the next time you go to fly it, it flies the same flight, unless you say, well, I only want these three piles today, but you can save your missions. So you fly it 5 to 15 minutes, you land it. Depending on your upload speed, you upload those 80 to 100 images to the web. It takes us like 4 to 6 hours to process the stitch. So what we, and then there's a process where you have to go in and look at all the polygons, and the first time you fly a site, we have all your materials in the system. There's a pull down for each pile. You click on it and you pull it down and you say, this is blonde bark, this is cypress mulch, this is my grindings, whatever it is, and it marks it. So on the reports it says grindings, blonde whatever, and you click submit, and then it gets processed. So our commitment to you is within 24 hours from flight to finish. If you do the submitting, you get an alert that says your PALs are ready for tagging.
Got it.
So
my second question is, define what success means in accuracy. Because you said that some of the auditors didn't ask you how accurate your flights were, but they asked you how consistent they were.
So our documented accuracy is plus or minus 2% of LIDAR, and that's what we go by.
Any other questions?
There's a question up here, up front.
Up front?
Larry.
Did you say that it'll compensate for conveyors that are in the way and so on?
Yeah, so here's the deal. If this is my stockpile and I have a conveyor on top of it, and it's the same size as the pile, I'm not going to be able to see the pile. But if the pile is bigger than the conveyor, we take that conveyor out. A lot of the conventional software out there counts that as material. So if you have a pile that's 30 feet tall and it's got this big conveyor on top of it, it's going to count that whole structure. Now, some of them go through, like I know that one of our competitors tells the user to flip the pile upside down and excise it out. And it, whether you do that or not, it's just a lot of labor. And somebody has to be very engineering focused. We do it for you. And when you're using the iPhone, if there's a telephone pole in the way, as long as you don't have the pole take up the entire frame. So I'm walking around a pile. This happens a lot where you have a stacker. You can either walk under the stacker or you can walk behind the stacker. So we train people, if you walk behind the stacker, just make sure you can still see the material. Like you step back enough where the material doesn't take up the whole picture, because if the camera is blocked by this whole podium, that's a gap. It saw the material, now it's blocked, now it saw the material. So if I step back here, I'm seeing the material. It works. And our system takes this podium out and fills in. So that's what we do. And we circle all the piles for you, which a lot of people don't understand the value of that until they buy their own drone and do it themselves and have to circle piles. And depending on where you circle them, you can get different results. We have a computer algorithm, so it's consistently doing the same process every time. The iPhone reports, to your question about timing, so an iPhone report is a little different because I pull out my phone, I open the app, and I click on the site and I click on the material and I put these two orange cones down and we have you rope them off so they're always consistently either 12 and a half feet or 25 feet on center. So I drop a cone, I pull it tight, drop the second cone. So anybody can do this. Start at the first cone and I tell it what site, what material, and I just click record. We even have a dotted line that says top of pile. Overlaid on the video camera. We have a thing that says bottom of pile. We have an indicator that if you're bouncing up and down too much, it's a little walking guy. He screams at you and tells you to slow down. We have a sun flare indicator because we had people going out and measuring at 7 a.m. and the sun is right in their face. If you've ever tried to take a picture at the beach and the sun is right there, it blinds the camera. So we tell them you may want to come back and measure an hour from now. Same thing at sunset. And then we have an indicator that we don't want you rotating the camera because that messes up photogrammetry. So you just start at the first cone, press record, and you're just walking around. We call it the policeman stance. You're just looking at your phone, you're watching where you're walking, and you look back at it once in a while. And that dotted line gives you a finger width at the top, a finger width at the bottom. And if you have a really tall pile, you can tilt it back. You know, there's ways you can shoot down the pile if you have cornrows that are next to each other. So we have a lot of techniques, but you walk around the pile, and then it automatically uploads. So if you're on Wi-Fi or cellular, the upload process looks the opposite of downloading a new app in iOS. It just has a little circle, and it uploads. And if you have Wi-Fi, depending on the size of the video, you know, it uploads, and then the iPhone reports don't have that extra step of somebody viewing the pile, and so they process quickly because we don't have to do an image stitch. stitch the jigsaw puzzle together. We don't have to, but you're not going to get them back in 10 minutes. We're talking hours, not 24 hours. And so what companies will do, like Old Castle or aggregates companies, you know, measure the chipper pile every hour on the hour and then look at the reports the next day and see what is my belt scale reading? What do I actually have? People use this to calibrate belt scales. So there's a lot of uses for it. There was something else I just thought about that we were talking about last night, and I'm having an old timer's moment. But that's the way the iPhone works versus the drone. And the advantage to the drone is you can fly a whole site in less than 30 minutes from setting up the drone to flying it and landing it. We provide drone flights, or you can do it yourself. And the iPhone, everybody can have one in their pocket. TxDOT didn't want to, they use unlocked iPhones that are on Wi-Fi only. It's an option. You don't have to be online when you take the measurement. We designed the app that way because a lot of quarries are in the middle of nowhere and there's no cellular. So you can shoot with an iPhone because we have shops, they say, we're all Android. When are you going to come out with an Android? Well, we're not. And the reason for that is support. We have every iPhone in stock. Somebody calls in, we're in 47 countries. So I get a call from Greece or Indonesia, I'm having a problem. I don't have all those Google devices or all those Android devices because the carriers are allowed to play with that software. Apple locks it down. So we're iPhone only. The simple solution is you just buy pre-owned iPhones on Gazelle for a minimal cost, and that becomes your data capture device. Take them back in the office. Or a lot of people at the show told me, well, I got an Android with a hotspot on it. You just connect it to that. Boom. Away you go. So if you're an Android shop, no problem.
There's any other questions?
Over there.
If you have a multi-level facility where you're pushing material over the edge and it's stockpiled up against a high wall, is it able to differentiate between the contour of the high wall and what the actual stockpile is?
One of the environmental risk we showed on there was high wall piles. And so we have this with Old Castle at some of their sites. They have the semi-truck that goes on the ramp and then the whole truck goes up in the air and it dumps it behind. So because I didn't show you this, but we do bins and bunkers. So if you have a flat concrete wall and you're pushing the material over it, we consider that a one-sided bunker. And it's a little bit different walking path. You walk back and forth like a horseshoe shape. And we ask you to measure that wall. So a lot of ready-mix plants have the Lego block bunkers that you've seen where they look like building blocks. So we just have them put in the system. We have a cool little tool. You go in and you say, okay, this is bin one, and this is its length, height, and width. And you define those walls, and then you walk back and forth because you can't walk around it. And so we're able to handle that. Where it becomes an issue is with a lot of quarries, the quarry wall is not flat, because if it was, it would cave in. So they cut the wall, then they cut the wall. They do a stair step. So now they push material over it, and you're only looking at it from this side. You can't see, because the quarry may be 100 yards wide, and they've got all these piles. You don't know what's behind it. And we can only slice it straight down, like when you do a drone flight. So we tell them, you know, this is going to be consistent from flight to flight, and you're going to get a number, but we don't know what that wall's doing behind the high wall. So if you have flat walls, that's a much easier situation, and we have a solution for that. We have a solution either way. It's just you ask the question, is it accurate or is it doable? So yes, we can do that.
Who else?
Do you have the ability to measure temperature in piles?
No, we do not. So we can't measure densities and we can't measure temperature. There is a thing called a FLIR camera, and there's drones that are outfitted with them. I think, is that right, Ken? Keep me honest here. Yeah, so FLIR is like a puck, and they use it for firefighting, and they use it for roof inspections, like to see if a commercial building is leaking heat, like, you know, if it needs to be insulated better. And the price of those has come way down, too. I know that heat is a big thing for you guys. First time I went to Pageland and Charlotte for Oldcastle, and they have three fire trucks there. They explained to me the issues that a lot of flammable material. But no, we don't do heat maps, but there is a solution out there that could do that. And I think there's a drone out there that has both, a FLIR camera and a regular camera. So you might be able to fly it for both purposes, but I'm not, don't quote me on that. But I think that's, and worst case, it would just mean two different drone flights. But yeah, there is a solution for that. There's also handheld things that you're probably using that you buy, that little lasers that tell you where the heat is. But they'll do a heat map similar to our 3D model.
Anybody else?
I will be here for the reception tonight. I'm not leaving till tomorrow. So if anybody has any further questions, or if you walk out of here and you say, wow, I wish I would ask him this, just come find me. I will be here, and I'll look forward to having a drink with everybody.
Thank you, Murray.
Thank you.